you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What is up, my fellow addicts? It is Ralph Sutton, the SDR Show. This is an extra long episode with a really interesting dude. You know him from Deadpool, from the Emoji Movie, from Silicon Valley, and as a stand-up comedian, it is TJ Miller comes in the studio. Zach Amico and James Mattern come in as well. We are in the studio, and we have a really interesting time with TJ Miller. If you're a big fan of TJ, you could have heard this 5 days earlier if you just went to Gas Digital Network and subscribed to the network. Use the code SDR30. I believe it works for one more week, and you get a 30-day free trial. Or sign up for 2 years, and you get 30% off the entire network. It's a really interesting episode. We went long because TJ wanted to go long. So what are you going to do? Say no to TJ Miller? Of course not. Here it is right now, the TJ Miller episode of The SDR Show.
This is the intro to the shit show. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. This is the hit show. Show me a tit show. Please, someone fuck the hoe. It's weed, I'm beat. It's hookers and blow. It's art. You need to know. The SDR Show. Let's go.
Oh, my goodness. Look at that. They're all in the studio. It's so nice. It is the SDR Show, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll Show. I am Ralph Sutton. One of my most common co-hosts these days, second to Big J Okerson, it is James Mattern. How are you, sir?
I'm silver medal.
Silver
medal. Gold, and I'm okay with it, baby.
And to my left, I think three times maybe on as a co-host. One was with Gene Simmons.
Oh, boy.
One with Chris Jericho.
One with Chris Jericho.
So hopefully TJ's not a fucking asshole.
Boy.
Gene Simmons is a toughie. I did a film with him. He's pretty far gone, though.
You know what
I mean?
He's gone.
I don't mean from drugs or anything. I just mean he's been so famous and for such a strange reason.
And for so long. For so long.
For so long. So I always try and give people a pass if they were really, really famous and have been for a really long time. Jason Bateman is a guy who's kind of bizarre.
Is he? Oh, too bad. I want to like him so much.
No, he's great. He's a good dude.
Okay.
I'm just saying he's sort of bizarre.
Yeah, he's
been
famous since he's eight or
something. Well, Teen Wolf 2.
Well, I think go back to It's Your Move when he was like eight. And he was on Silver Spoons before that.
Yeah, Silver Spoons was where he really. So that's a really tough thing.
Yeah.
I think the most well-adjusted of those people is Justin Bieber. Because he's been really famous for a really long time since he was younger. But like YouTube famous type of thing. And so he was famous from something that was really new, and but he's a really down to earth dude. If a person like that
at that level of fame, I know. Like, well, first of all, I'll say it's Zach Amico. Thank you so much for doing it, and then obviously TJ Miller in the studio right now as well. When I hosted Shiprock, which I did for 11 years, that week of being like super famous, you know, not famous, but like as the host of the cruise, everybody wants pictures and talk to you. I become a douchebag by the end of a week.
It's all it took.
Yeah,
I can't imagine being famous for fucking 40 years.
See, one thing I would say, though, with Gene Simmons, I have a feeling he was like that when he was a whatever teacher in Brooklyn, forcing his kids to read Spider-Man as part of the curriculum. When you say, I'm going to make Spider-Man a part of the curriculum, you think who you are.
Yeah,
you don't have to sell fucking Destroyer yet.
But also, for some reason, I don't mean to, because I think Zach might be one of the nicest men on the planet.
Mm.
Both Gene and Chris, for whatever reason, you rubbed them the wrong way.
They just fucking hate him.
They fucking hate
him. That's so weird.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Chris Jericho said to him, that's a stupid question.
I hated you when we first sort of walked in together.
Of course.
But that was because you said, go fuck yourself.
Yeah. Well,
when I made a joke about, I only work with people who are not vaxxed.
Oh.
I'm making that joke like, can I ask, did he mention the book of Polaroids? Gene Simmons?
Not
no.
Did he mention, I can't remember if he told me this or somebody else. I think he told me this, and it was, you see that salt shaker? Oh, no, maybe it was somebody else. But he said, you see that salt shaker? That's like a dollar. If it said kiss on it, that would be worth $15. Or some like weird, it was like, because he's a great businessman, it was some weird, like actually thinking about the wholesale worth of the salt shaker.
Right, and just slapping a label.
And then kind of knowing that it would be, it was something like that. It was like, if we slapped a label on it, it would be $14.29.
It's unbelievable.
With tax.
My favorite was that he got
with tax.
The reason why he got mad, he got mad at Zach because they were opening a casino and it was called the Kiss Carnival Cruise, whatever the fuck. It had a long name.
Casino with a K, I would hope.
That, oh, yes.
Where's the camera that I'm supposed to look in when I say something slyly?
It's just my eyes. Is this would that be the weirdest thing ever?
So Zach said that. Why is it not called the Casino? And you could see in his eyes that he was upset that he had not thought of that.
And then he turned
off. Oh, yeah, that must have been the reason.
Yeah,
or
he was like angry.
He brought it up to the rest of the band, and they told him to kiss off.
There it is. Right to the camera.
You guys don't have the money to zoom in?
We do. You'll get there.
Yeah,
but Jen, zoom on him.
But Gene Simmons, zoom in on half. He just gets half of James's face, half of mine.
There you go. All right, perfect.
So let me ask you this. It's really smooth. I just want to say.
Seamless.
It feels like machine learning's been drinking.
That's so great.
So he just started off and he said, the film was called Extract, and he did this weird with Jason Bateman, in fact.
I actually love that movie.
And it's a great movie, right? And I hate when people are like underrated. I hear that all the time and it doesn't make any sense, but constantly after shows and stuff, I hear people and they go, oh man, She's Out of My League. That is one of the most underrated films. And I always want to be like, it's not. Underrated.
It's kind of a backhand.
Yeah, it's definitely a backhand. But then there's something
else. Most people think
that
fucking sucks, but I think it's great.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Or they kind of say, "I can't believe nobody saw that." It was one of the things. That's not the phrase, but it's something like that. And that's a weird thing where they're like, "Oh man, you know, it's such a great movie, and nobody's seen it." And I'm like, "Yes, people have seen it." But Gene Simmons immediately goes, so what have you been in? What would I know you? Would I know you from anything? And I go, I don't think so. This is early on.
But also, can I ask the context? You were just in a room together during Extract was being filmed. Like, where did you run into him?
Catering.
Well, I know I was sucking his dick in the trailer.
Fair enough. Yeah, makes sense.
It's medium sized cock. I couldn't believe that it was right. It was right on the. It was average. No, we were in our makeup. And the makeup chairs, and they were doing his hair or making his hair or whatever it is. And, excuse me, I said, well, I was in the movie Cloverfield. And he was like, no. And I was like, well, I've been on this show, Carpoolers, on ABC. He's like, no. And then I said, well, I don't think. I think actually he was like, would I know anything that you're in? And I was like, well, I don't know what you know. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I'm saying like projects or, and I sort of said to him, no, I guess not. I guess you wouldn't know any of the things that I was in. I made some joke, I think like, well, I'm in this. I mean, you know me from this because you're in this also. But he just, from the get-go, his first thing is to elevate his status and degrade everybody else's status. And I just thought that was so weird. So the Polaroid book, I guess he showed this to a couple of the grips or something on the set, is a book of Polaroids that he's taken of all the women that he's had sex with.
Which is in the thousands, correct?
I think it is in the thousands. And, you know, his son, I actually know his son. His son's pretty cool.
Yeah, they were in the reality show for a while together.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And so... This book of Polaroids is all these women. I don't think the book had that, but it must have been hundreds and hundreds. Yeah. And the grip said that he would show it to people, and it's just not impressive.
Oh, the girl quality.
It's like the women are like middle-aged, white, like housewives almost definitely cheated on their husbands.
It's the newest volume. Maybe it's the newest volume he was showing. Maybe the older volumes are at home.
Oh, he's probably in the volume.
Yeah,
50
look,
now.
I'm sure in the prime it was something, but what he showed was kind of.
You want the Old Testament.
Yeah, not the New Testament. That's right. You want fire and brimstone and punishment. You don't want this whole. You know, I met her at a Lids in Century City Mall.
We had David Faustino on recently.
And, oh, did you?
He said that he was getting a acupuncture.
Oh, boy.
And the acupuncture said, oh, my friend.
Oh, boy.
My
well,
friend,
I got in trouble for telling the story that night. Oh, I'll really? Tell you after you say this.
My friend George wants to meet you, the acupuncturist says to him. And he's naked on a bed getting the acupuncture, but he's covering his dick. And in walks George Harrison. And George starts telling him how much he loves Married with Children. And he goes, thank you. He goes, oh, by the way, Christina Applegate is the hottest girl I've ever seen. He goes, yeah, she's very hot. And then George Harrison says, please tell Christina Applegate that I'd like to lick her pussy. Right? And I guess he had a little bit of a strange look on. He goes, yeah, I'm the only clit-licking Beatle. Please tell her that. And then he thought maybe he was joking, but on the way out, he said it again. Make sure you tell Christina.
Yeah.
And I felt it probably worked for him 90% of the time of his life.
Definitely the I'm the only clit-licking Beatle. I feel like that's worked and has been a part of the repertoire for a while.
Yeah,
okay,
for a while.
I think amazing. For sure. My wife, Kate, who I'll mention a lot throughout the podcast.
Yes, I've listened to a few things, I'm aware.
Kate, ooh, interesting. Talk about a backhanded compliment. You know what? If your face had the band name Kiss on it, you'd be worth something. That's, you'd just well, be worth some sort of something.
That's the best answer. Something.
Yeah. So yes. Right now, nothing. But with yes. A Kiss band or something.
Plus tech.
So she dated Sean Lennon, John Lennon's son. So I never liked, I always thought the Beatles were overrated. I'm making shirts that say the Beastie Boys are my Beatles. Because I think that, right? No?
No, I was just listening to Jimmy James as I walked in here. Swear
really?
To God. Off the third album.
Great.
I'm
that's
a huge
great.
Fan. Yeah.
Yeah, and so I'm not a huge fan, but you got to think George Harrison of all of them does need a line like that.
Yeah, of the four,
he was Ringo's, the quiet one.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
Was his shtick.
Ringo's very well known.
He was too busy.
Yeah. He couldn't talk.
He wasn't using that tongue for anything but clit. But yeah, so I do like that. David Faustino is great, though. I did a Zoom call with him because he was working with some guys that did the How to Train Your Dragon television show series on Netflix, and I just think, yeah, he is so funny. Married with Children was like a big influence for me comedically.
Sure.
Did you guys like Married with Children?
I wasn't allowed to watch it, so that's how you make this, by the way. By banning all funny things.
Yeah, by banning the funny stuff. You're like, I'll go out and get it myself, God damn it.
I have I listened to you talk recently and saying that you're not in Deadpool 3, and one of the reasons was there's no third movie that's good in a franchise, and I have a bone to pick with that.
Oh, I'm excited for this. You really did listen to things
I do
in
research.
Preparation.
I'm not a comic. They're comics.
He's the
I
most
do research.
Researched human being I've ever really? Met in my life, T.
That's yeah. Really interesting. I don't think I've ever... I didn't know anything about this show. I had heard of Gas Digital, and I still kind of don't know exactly what I'm doing. I know that James is a friend of mine.
Yeah. You know you had some interaction with some of the shows on this network.
I'm not his friend.
Yeah, yeah.
One way. He's a friend of mine.
It's a one-way street.
We were, by the way, just so you know, we were trying to figure out before James and you got here, what level of friendship is this? Is this James saying we're friends? And it turns out that you are.
It's friends. We work together. Yes. You know what, though? I don't think that it's really hard as a comic in New York City to become really good friends with other comics. And it's one of the reasons I don't like not being really good friends, and we are good friends, but it's one of the reasons I don't like Los Angeles if you're a comic, because you can only do really one set or two sets in a night, and so it's a lot of hanging out after the set. And in New York, it's sort of coming, like, I'm going to do four shows tonight if everything works out well. So you're saying, hello, how you doing? Exchange some words, maybe sit and have a drink. And then you're out of there to go to the next thing.
So you prefer to stick and move and not actually have to sit and have a long conversation.
Well, I think that, you get a lot more done and you do more stand-up. That's all I care about. You know, it's not about social anxiety or something.
No, I'm just trying to understand why you'd rather spend less time with
James. If you had done your research. But yeah, so it's, so I would say, we're as good of friends. He's one of the only people on the scene that I would say we're friends.
Oh, wow. And how long would you say you two know each other?
A couple of years now, sure.
Yeah, several years. So, I love how shocked you are that I'm friendly with a guest.
With anybody.
I was going to brag. Like that's a, hey, guys.
I was just trying.
We talked, we hung out, and I'm like, yeah, it's exciting.
I was trying to decipher the level of friendship. That's all.
He's just doing research, actually.
Are you wondering if I get married, if I fall in love tonight, who's getting fucking invited or not? You keep this questioning in that tone,
and I'm not
someone will be here.
And I won't.
Zach's the fucking, is going to be the ring bearer. That's already
it. But here I go. You ready? Third movies in a franchise. I wrote them down. Rocky 3, great fucking movie.
Okay.
Rocky 3 is not bad.
Return of the Jedi.
But not bad doesn't work.
Return of the Jedi
is pretty good.
Yeah, yeah, but you know
Goldfinger.
What? I have said Return of the Jedi.
You said Return of the Jedi.
But that's a little bit different because each of those are standalone. You don't think of them so much. It's not, the only thing I'll say is, it's not Star Wars 2.
Oh, you mean when it
Star
has the
Wars
number?
3. It doesn't have to have the number.
Okay.
But it's kind of, no one thinks of Return of the Jedi as Star Wars 3. They think of it as sort of as part of the trilogy. So I think actually that's tough to count if it's a trilogy rather than a third installment, right? You could argue a little bit, but you know what I mean.
Right, okay. But Rocky 3, I stand by.
I mean, I got to be honest.
Apollo Creed?
I mean,
Clubber Lang.
I would agree with that. I don't think it did a lot for... Well, yeah, I'd say that's a really good one.
Here's another one. Ready? The Last of the Lord of the Rings. I enjoyed it. The third one.
No, I'm not going to do any of that shit.
You ready for a
Goldfinger?
You ready
Lord
for Goldfinger?
Why don't you just argue
all
how
Lord
Harry,
of the Rings?
Harry,
Goldfinger. All Lord of the
Harry
Rings
Potter
could go jump
3
in the
was, yeah.
Goldfinger.
Jump in a fucking river.
Goldfinger.
Which is probably the best of the franchise.
All right. Yes. Goldfinger was third.
But those are
I don't know.
Those are separate things.
What about, okay. Moonraker? I mean, there's a lot of good. But that's a tough one. So here's what's going to happen. Is Hangover 3 happen? They're not going to have another Hangover.
Well, that was terrible. Hangover 2 was terrible.
Hangover 2 was, but so what I say, the reason I say this, and the other thing is you haven't mentioned any comedies, right? You've actually mentioned what we call sagas. And so those are not expected to have a 1, 2, and 3. Those are expected, like James Bond, to keep going and going. And Rocky did have like a Rocky 4 and a Rocky 5.
What about a third? What about the third Pink Panther? I'm not sure which one that was.
That was decent, I believe, because the second one is shot in the dark.
A comic saga, but I mean, you may be right there. Mm-hmm. It's just, it wasn't... I get it, we're doing semantics here, but like the Pink Panther Strikes Again or Return of the Pink Panther, stuff like that is like, Rambo is, but you know, they were trying to make his, but yeah, Rambo 3 was not.
I don't remember 3 as well.
Well, yeah. And then there you go. But hey, what I say is that if you look at... Hangover, the third one ruined the franchise. And I think the percentage likelihood of that is really, really high for any third installment and really, really low. But you named the ones, I mean, I've had people say, Return of the Jedi. So I've had that conversation. I will say you're the first person that brought up James Bond and Goldfinger. And you're right. I mean, Doctor No, nobody remembers that. Right. I think most people who love James Bond have never seen the first James Bond.
And it's great.
So that's a good point. It is great because it was
favorites.
A different thing.
That's
you
one of my favorites,
mean?
The first one.
You're welcome, everybody. Thank you. That's why.
But I see what you mean about comedies because Austin Powers 3
brutal.
Is what shit the bed.
Brutal.
Well, and see, what happens then is that it ruins the franchise and then they have to wait. You have to wait, really, I mean, almost literally 15 years to have the first one come back as kind of a classic. And then people might find the second one and go, okay, that's, you know what, that's fun. And then the third one kind of disappears from the cultural, not even zeitgeist, but the cultural collective consciousness. And that's what I think would happen with Deadpool 3 or was possible. But I think Deadpool 3, I think is going to be... They did a good job in the second one of bringing in all these other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in the third one, I don't even think Brolin's doing it. I'm almost sure Zazie Beetz isn't doing it. I think it's going to be kind of like the Eternals, where it's just Marvel
throwing a bunch of people in it.
Shit at the wall and seeing what spaghetti sticks and doesn't slide
down. But
also,
it's the first one that's officially in the Marvel universe where the others have not been. They've been like, you know, that weird legal thing.
They've been a Fox thing. It's kind of Disney. But I would say, I bet that that's what happened. Do I hope it's great? Sort of, sure.
Mm-hmm.
But do I think it's going to be great? No. And I've done this in other things, but like, no one, it just doesn't help. Like, How to Train Your Dragon 3 was not, like, a great movie. I don't think it helped the overall franchise. And so it just doesn't do anything for me to be... My time is better spent on other things.
Fair enough. Yeah. I have to ask this question because I watched the video and I can't tell if it's real or not. I feel that it's not, but there's a couple of edits that are too good for it not to be canon. Can you show this, please, Shannon? So in the beginning...
I thought you might ask about this. Because I did my research about you.
yeah, apparently. See, that's the part. You look like you're handing it to him. So yeah. I feel that it is real.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's real.
You really are in there with him.
Of course, yeah.
Okay, let's start.
This was at a time when... But you know what? We look at the
in a cage with a bear.
Yeah.
And auditioning for Yogi Bear live action in theory. Sir.
Yeah, and so... And look at this. This is...
Wait, this is audition? They make the live bear in the audition?
No, I did. Yeah, so I had kind of gotten the part. As a joke, I rented this bear. It's a 600-pound grizzly bear. And this was the thing. Everyone goes, isn't it so scary? I hold a marshmallow in my mouth, and then it takes it from me with its mouth. And everybody's like, wasn't that so scary? And I said, no. I mean, not. This is amazing that he keeps saying hello to me.
It's really wild.
It's a great. It's one of the. It's really, really one of the funniest things I'd ever done. And so I did that as a joke and sent it to Warner Brothers. And it was so funny that it made its way all the way up to Alan Horn, who's the CEO.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, and he never laughs at anything. And he didn't laugh at this, but he said, he said, that's good. Yeah, hire that guy. And so I sort of had the job, but that really confirmed it. And that was fun. That was one of the times where I sort of was fucking with Hollywood, but it was early on in my career, so it wasn't threatening to them at all. They didn't have any like insecurity or feel like I didn't care about them or something. It was still at the stage where they were like, wow, he really goes all out to really like make us laugh and stuff. And then slowly as you rise in fame, people start to go, does he not give a shit? Is he, you know, it becomes a perceived arrogance rather than what it is, which is kind of irreverence and nihilism and that kind of stuff.
Very deep.
But yeah. Oh, it is deep. You didn't do your research?
I did my research. You identify as a nihilist, but a something nihilist, and I can't think of the word before it. I wrote it down somewhere.
Just a positive nihilist. Yeah. Just somebody who's like, if nothing means anything, then anything can mean everything. And so you transcend from a human being to a god because you kind of decide what the meaning of all of this is and what value life has.
Hurting my brain a little bit.
That's my friend, motherfucker.
Yeah, that's
motherfucker,
right, bitch.
Tolstoy. Walking
James
in
and
here.
I talk about this all the time.
Sex, drugs, and philosophy. Yeah. That's our spinoff.
Yes.
All right. Before we go any further, let me say hi there to the responsible adults over the age of 21 living in the states where Delta 8 is legal. If you want to get high, really super duper legally high, well then now's the time to go to yodelta.com. where you could stock up on high-quality, lab-tested Delta 8. So if you're over the age of 21 and living in a majority of the states where this is legal, go to yodelta.com and stock up on Delta 8. What is Delta 8? Well, it's found in hemp. It can be legally shipped to a bunch of states, and it can legally get you high. At yodelta.com, you can find a mix of gummies and vapes for all your getting stoned needs. And I can tell you, based on what I see at Gas Digital, Delta 8 works. So these products should be taken responsibly. Once again, go to yodelta.com, the official Delta 8 sponsor of the Gas Digital Network. And if you use the promo code GAS, you're going to get 25% off. Once again, that promo code is GAS. You get 25% off. You just head to yodelta.com. Yo Delta, home of the Delta 8 that will get you super duper high. All right, let's get back into it.
So here's my proving some research here. Ready? Whenever you think about push-ups, are you still doing push-ups?
Yeah, but I have to do this. I have to do this new policy. I haven't done it. But I have to do this new policy where I won't do it if somebody else brings it up. Because I have, but this is, you know.
He's doing, I don't know if you're going to get it on camera, Shannon. So, wait, hold on here. Let me.
Oh, he's just banging him out. Look at this. I didn't realize it's the first 20 minutes of Full Metal Jacket. Holy shit.
I'm going to shoot myself. in the fucking-
I am in a world of shit, TJ.
So normally, if someone brings it up, you wouldn't do it. Well, he's I thought he was doing 34, but look at this, more than 34.
No, it's always 34.
TY 34, Magic Johnson?
No, not at all. God, that's how.
That's pretty good. Every time, well, not every time, but you do that anytime you think about it.
Well, and I have to stop at a certain point because. It's you're not supposed to really do stuff every day, but it's 34 for a bunch of reasons. So one is that, well, here's what it is. 20 pushups is just not impressive. It's just everyone is kind of like, I bet I could do 20 pushups, you know, if I put my mind to it. 25 is kind of not that much more impressive. It's almost like you want to go down. You're like, well, just do 20. Why are you doing 25? 50 pushups makes you sound like a real asshole.
Like you're bragging, trying to prove something.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's weird to say, yeah, whenever I think about it, I just drop and do 50. It's just like, that's not a guy you want to have dinner with. That way. And then 40 is like, well, why don't you just do 50? You know, it's like weird to not go to 50.
And also the fact that it's not 35, that it's an odd number, like 34, just more interesting.
It, well, 34 is odd. That helps too. And so 30... is not that impressive for some reason. And we already talked about 40 and 50. But 34, to me, really hits this very sweet spot. And from a physical standpoint, what you do is you start, and I've been doing this for months and months. You start, and you are not great at doing push-ups. And then because I haven't ever gone above 34, now I can do ones where, like, I'm on this side and this side.
Focus on form.
I can just, but it's not even focusing on form but it's like I can do different things with the push-ups, and that's pretty fun.
Can you do the clappies?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, my goodness.
Cool. Do they call those burpees? What's the thing
burpees
they call
burpees? Stand up, sit down.
It's a little much.
Why is the name of it burpees?
Stinks.
Like, that's the best part of it, and then when you find out what it is, you're like, well, I thought burpees were something you do on a boogie board.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Doesn't that sound like a cool trick on a boogie board?
It sounds more fun than some, like...
Hey, let's go burp it up. Let's do some burpees, y'all.
Yeah. Burp it out, everybody.
Burp it out. Burp dog style. So that's why I've been doing that. And then it helps me sort of look somewhat more deserving of having Kate as a wife.
Kate is gorgeous, by the way. I will say that. She's an artist as well, right?
She's an installation artist as well. Who else are you talking about?
I thought she was a...
Are you an artist?
I know I'm not.
Come on.
Oh, yeah.
This is art, baby.
Barely a comic artist, but I think... No. I'm a comedian.
But well, isn't that an art?
I think we're artists. But we're like the carpenter.
Is podcasting an art?
Yeah, I think
it is.
Is
hosting an art?
I do think so.
Exactly.
So are we all in agreement?
I guess we're yes. Yeah. Wait a minute. What were you arguing about?
Are we in agreement that agreeance is not a word?
Agreeance?
Uh-oh.
Shannon, can you look it up? Agreement. Maybe agreement, not agreement.
Ralph, I think you got confused. I think you still thought you were on your show, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll. Sex, Drugs, and Philosophy is taking over, bitches.
Oh, it is a word.
That's like
interesting.
Strategize.
I think agreance is a word, yeah.
And isn't there's some now rare?
That's it. It's an older word. I'm fucking.
You're
50,
an older guy.
I'm 52 years old.
No,
what
I was
do you
gonna
want?
Say you're old English, motherfucker.
That's how I roll.
This motherfucker spells old with an E. O L D.
I put on my trousers and came right over here.
Oh, this guy goes to the fudge shop. A. Ye old fudge shop. A.
You want
to
hear something really douchey that I know for
this
no
is the
reason?
Best.
You know that
you should
not...
start every sentence with that.
It's not ye old. That thing is actually pronounced th. That is a letter that's no longer used in the English language.
It's out.
That we pronounce as ye because we think it's a y, but if you look at it, it's actually a letter that's no longer used that sounds as a th.
And it's supposed to be
the old.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I've never been more enamored with a 52-year-old podcast host than I am right now.
Who might be an artist or not. We haven't voted on it yet.
Do you get a lot of people mentioning how tall you are?
Yeah, I mean, I am almost 6'6", so how would they not?
See, that's interesting. I never did before.
Mention it? We've just met an hour ago, so how is that possible?
Hey, Gene Simmons, we're not talking about you right now. No, it's... people mention to me, they go, wow, you're really tall.
Well,
and they didn't used to do that anymore. I used to be 6'2", I thought. Then I was like, I'm actually more like 6'3". And then like a couple years ago, my doctor, my internist was like, you're 6'4". And I was like, I'm not.
You've been growing in your 30s?
I'm 6'3". So hear me out on this one. he said, "No, you're 6'4". And I was like, "I'm really not. I mean, I'm 6'3". And I don't, sometimes I feel like I'm pushing it like I'm 6'3". He goes, "Are you calling my scale a liar?"
Oh my God.
And he goes like this. He goes, "Are you saying that my scale is lying?" And I was like, no, not at all. And we just did it again and confirmed it. And so I may have grown an inch. Kate thinks in part because I'm sort of getting built in my upper body.
That your spine got stronger, maybe.
Yeah,
you know, and you're
something.
Standing more erect.
The goddamn push-ups.
And the push-ups.
I should do 34.
Realign the spine.
I'll be 6 foot in 10 years.
10 years.
I've been trying. I've been this height since fifth grade. Fuck it.
People do say to me, they say, "Wow, you're really tall." And they've been saying it a lot. I get it a lot after shows. People go, "Wow, you're really tall. You're really..." Because I guess I'm bigger than people think I'm going to be, just because I am a large fellow. But I never thought of myself as like, wow, really tall.
I think anything over 6'4 is huge.
I think the Winklevoss twins are 6'6. Yeah,
I'm just under. I'm like 6'5 and a half, but I have a twin brother that's 5'7, so it's really weird.
Whoa, I mentioned the Winklevi, and then you have a twin also, and he's the same height?
No,
he's 5'7.
He's so criminally
fraternal?
Shorter.
Fraternal twins, yeah.
Wow.
It's kind of weird.
He's incredibly short, you said?
It's shorter. Yeah,
so
it almost looks like a gag.
You took his height.
Yeah, we've said this a lot on the show, but it is weird. I was born New Year's Eve, and he was born January 1st. And because I'm about to be 52, I was born in the 60s. He was born in the 70s. We're twins born in different decades.
Wow, that's so amazing. New Year's Day, you're saying.
I'm Eve, he's Day.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. That is very weird. I mean, he just came late. That's why he's... Or no.
I'm the early. I'm the New Year's Eve.
Yeah. So I'm saying you were older than him, and thus.
Wow. I'm much
day
bigger.
Late, 9 inches short.
So you came out at
11:58 p.m.
I did the fucking math for that one, baby.
Right?
Babadoo.
That's about. I think that's off.
He's 5'7".
And I'm 6'5".
Yeah. Fuck.
That's wrong.
I had you 6'4".
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I'm 6'4".
Let's do the. Yeah. Who's on first?
The gag worked for me. Yeah.
The gag worked for TJ.
Right, Ronnie, you want to hear my continued research of TJ Miller?
Yes, please.
Sure.
The dude was hacked. They tried to steal his money and his bitcoins.
Jesus Christ.
And I was told not to talk about that again, but here we are.
Here we are. Did he get it back?
No, they didn't get there fast enough because the Winklevoss twins helped us.
Oh, that's nice. Good to have.
I mean, they both did, but Tyler sort of helped stop the whole thing. But yeah, we were a few days away, really more like 5 or 6 days away from them really being able to procure the funds, all that. But they photoshopped me holding my ID with
like today's paper?
Yeah,
something?
Today's date.
Oh, man.
And because my account was frozen, and so they tried to unfreeze it, and they did some crazy stuff. I mean, the Photoshop is crazy, but they took, and everybody should look out for this. If you have folders in your mailbox, which is like an old school Hotmail Yahoo thing to do, then they can filter it so that certain people go straight into the folder instead of your inbox.
In it. Yeah.
Yeah. And that was pretty bad because they took all the Yahoo, the Gemini, the everything that would say, "Hey, someone's changed your password, someone's in this," and they had it go to a folder that was way down. And so I didn't, it was a folder that I hadn't checked in forever. So that's pretty, that was pretty alarming. And in fact, one thing, when I saw that they requested Bitcoin, that just came down while we were frantically trying to get me a new phone and get this phone cut off and all this stuff. And if I hadn't seen that come down, it was notification, I couldn't find it in my inbox. And so I was like,
because it was filtered out.
And I was like, they've deleted it. But yeah, it filtered down. And so I got the notification, and then we were able to call the, just try and get everything fixed, call the Winklevoss twins and all that kind of stuff.
I mean, it's so great to have that access to make that fucking happen. I couldn't do that. I'd be calling Shannon asking for help. That wouldn't help anybody.
And the real danger with that too is, they don't have really anyone that you can just call. They don't have a customer service representative that you can call and get a hold of right away.
Especially on those crypto platforms like Gemini, or there's another one called Robinhood.
Coinbase.
There's no human beings you're going to get in touch with.
No, yeah. So that was pretty scary. But the hack is just, I remember I was so concerned. Then they tried to do two $10,000 charges on Facebook because they got into our social media and locked me out and then tried to, you know, like pay themselves $10,000. But you can't do that. That's why credit cards, it's not that big deal if somebody like steals your credit card, because you can, the credit card company has to cover those fraud. Right.
You can
things.
Dispute the charges, but cash or money out of your account, you can't.
Well, cryptocurrency.
Right.
You really can't get that stuff back.
You can't get that back.
So that's one of the dangers of it. But my father-in-law kept saying over and over, he kept going, well, you know, what really the time that they took from you. And I said, that's not what I'm worried about. I was worried about how they almost stole so much of our money. But then it really did take months and months to get back in. And I still haven't changed everything. Like, you have to get a new email, but you have to get everybody, and then new phone numbers, and the social media took forever to figure out. And
identity was stolen twice in a year. Jesus. Right. And I have
Zach. Did you take one of them?
No one wants Ralph's identity. They gave it back both times.
But I had to put a freeze on my credit. I still now, for the last 3 years, if you look at me, I have zero credit. Does not exist, because I had to freeze it out because it got stolen twice in a year.
Yeah.
Sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty awful. And those are sort of both the same things. They just digitally took so much away from you that it takes forever.
And you punish the victim. It sucks. You're the one that's got to deal with it. They don't fucking have to deal with it. You have to deal with it.
I think about it sometimes, like wherever that person, it's probably somebody that hates me and Kate, but I just do think about like in Slovakia or something, that there was this guy who was like, fuck, I almost got all that Bitcoin, you know?
And but just you think it was personal, or because you said it because they don't like
it? It could have been.
You.
I don't know if you guys know this, but I am one of the most hated people in the United States.
Well, I'm right there next to you.
Well, then there we go. But no, I mean, it could have been a personal thing. It's not anybody that I know.
Right.
But it could have been something like that. I just think all they care, they could have destroyed my life in other ways. They could have like published all this transphobic hate speech stuff on. And by the time I got back and said, I'm hacked, no one cares, that type of thing. But they really, I mean, as the Winklevi said, these guys really learned a lot about me. Because I think what they did is, whenever I was at our home in Sag Harbor, my father-in-law's home, I got weird notifications. And so I think there they were realizing I don't email as much because I kind of take a vacation mindset. And they did all this on a day when usually I would be flying. I think it was on a Thursday or something. It was August, I don't know, Friday the 14th. And so I would be flying in the morning then. So I think, and they actually emailed someone at Gemini as me, being like, hey, I have a ticket. I mean, Tyler, they email and they go, I have a ticket. I have an extra ticket to Louis C.K. Do you want to come? Also, can you expedite the unfreezing of my account?
Oh, they made it like personal. Whoa.
They made it sound like it was me. And that would be something I would say, but I don't know. It wasn't, those guys are really busy, but I would never fucking invite one of the Winklevoss twins to something. That would just be so insane. I could see them saying to me, do you want to do something without Kate? But not even, because they would always invite the two of us somewhere. Mm-hmm. I'm 11 days older than her. So
I did the research. I know that.
Oh, hello. I always say respect my elders. Respect your elders, Kate.
Shannon, zoom in on them. Shannon's let them hold for Zoom. Hold for Zoom.
Okay. I love the devotion.
That's it?
There we go. He really held it long. That's good. Go even further. You go even further. There we go.
What do you want? Go to his cornea?
All right. I go to his cornea. But yeah, I would never. So I think that was, to me, that was the tip off. That
right.
It would never be like, I have one ticket and I like you more than the other one. Maybe Tyler was kind of like, oh, cool. TJ thinks I'm the cool one.
And then you had to let him down and say, that wasn't me. I'm sorry.
I know. That was tough. I think that was tough for him to swallow.
You ready for this one, guys?
Go.
In his rider, he says, make me a terrible turkey sandwich and give me a pinata.
That's good. Who doesn't want that?
And the reason is to see what kind of vibe the comedy club has, if they're funny or not. Am I right?
Yeah, you really do your research. That's an older rider, but that's what you could find online. Yeah, I thought it was fun to see. And some people made the most amazing terrible turkey sandwich, which is true. Is one time I did a college, back when you could do colleges, and they wouldn't be like, what the fuck did you just say? What pronoun did you just fucking say?
You said,
answer
you said hello.
Me. Yeah. I'm calling my family. Yeah. All that shit. Yeah.
I feel like I'm there.
In a way you are. In a way you are. So, yeah, and but they would, this college, they said, they came back. They said, we're going to get your terrible turkey sandwich. And she came back and she was like, student union was out of, all they had was a ham sandwich. And I was like, that's a pretty terrible turkey sandwich. But some, you know, one club got a whole roasted turkey and put two slices of bread. Another one made the smallest, tiniest one. It was just like a fleck of turkey. And then just all, I mean, it was about as big as a thumb.
Is there more creativity with the turkey sandwiches or more creativity with the pinatas?
Turkey sandwich, because you've already got everything you need for that, or it's easy to get. But the pinata, I've had a pinata of my face. Oh. I've had pinatas that were full of airplane-sized bottles of liquors, or as we call them in New York, singles.
What about a pinata that's shaped like a turkey sandwich? Would that cover both bases?
It's happened.
Oh, shit, James. Look at that.
And I was like, is it filled with turkey or turkey sandwiches? And I saw their eyes drop to the ground as they were like, why the fuck didn't we do that? Like, that would have been the easiest, but they just hadn't thought of it. They thought pinata of a turkey sandwich was the best thing that's ever happened. So I wasn't upset with them or anything like that. But so now I've changed that because that was sort of around. And it was a pinata or a hand-drawn picture of a pinata. Because I didn't want to make them have to go get a pinata if they didn't have time.
Is part of it the Van Halen thing where you just want to know they're reading the contract? Or is there actually just for the comedic purpose?
No, it's more for the comedic purpose. Sometimes I would take the pinata on a Sunday night if it was a certain kind of weekend. And I usually would either smash it against my own head, or I would have someone from the audience come up and smash it and then give all the candy to people in the audience. But I did that for a long time. So now I have, the main thing I have in my rider is flowers for the green room. Fresh flowers for the green room and some that are dead or dying. And in the contract, it says, because it reminds me of the imminent mortality that we all are facing.
Wow.
So like that's kind of fun, but I haven't really, I asked for this water called Liquid Death.
Oh yeah. Yeah. They were a sponsor, I think, for a while here.
Really?
Yeah.
And they're, anyway, that's really funny. Cause you're asking somebody to get you a certain kind of canned water. And I don't know. I just think that's pretty funny. But it's not really to make sure they're reading the contract. Also, I advance all my dates because I have a second phone, which is my assistant is me with a different phone. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of asked them, I'm like, you know, is there anything you don't know? Is there anything? And I asked them enough questions where they're like, we better read through this.
Because Van Halen got so much flack for putting that in the contract, but it was so that they made sure everyone read the contract.
What was in the contract?
No green M&Ms, or they would trash the hotel, the room,
the green room. Yeah.
It became legendary.
Yeah, and it became like their divas, but their rationale was they had such a like highly intense pyro and all this other shit. Yeah. They wanted to make sure that they took everything seriously, so they buried that into the contract.
I mean, it's good. I also have a big, a long rider because my show is more like a circus.
Right.
It's called a philosophy circus than it is really just a straight stand-up show. And so I close. I have juggling. I have.
You're a stilt walker, apparently.
Yeah, I am. A nose flute game show happens at one point. There are prizes for people that are photographs my mother has taken and framed, or beaded mask hangers that my mother has actually done by hand. There's just a lot of shit going on. And so I need to know that you're going to have the right music cues, all that stuff. And I'm actually kind of moving away from that because it is a lot to sort of do that. But as it's weird, it's like I have managers and some people that say your act needs to be more autobiographical because they want everybody to follow the kind of everything, Pryor, Louis C.K., Chappelle, all that kind of stuff. Because then you're autobiographical, you make it personal, and then when you ascend to a certain level, you become a social critic. And I understand that, but I also, no one else is doing the circus. But I've heard that, like, all representatives are kind of like, make it about you. People
when you're thinking about making those changes, did you talk to your best friend James about it?
I got so much info for you.
I called, but he didn't pick up.
Oh, remember, it's one way.
He wouldn't return my calls.
Yeah.
All right, before we go any further, fans of the show that are over 21, I've talked about these guys forever. It's Yo Kratom. You know Yo Kratom. How do you know them? Simple. Home of the $60 kilo. If you're looking for a full kilo of Kratom at an unheard of price, head over to Yo Kratom. Yo Kratom does full kilos for $60. That's right. So if you're currently a fan of Kratom, you can be getting it from our newest sponsor. Well, now a longtime sponsor, let's be honest. Yo Kratom for just $60 a kilo. So if you're a fan of Kratom, this is the thing to do. If you don't know Kratom, fuck this ad. But if you're looking for high-quality, curated Kratom direct from a wholesaler to you, there is nowhere else to go but YoKratom.com. $60 kilos, incredible prices, great quality, interesting mixes, some that are only on YoKratom.com. No more wondering how long it's been sitting on the shelves. No more getting annoyed at paying 80, 90, 100 or more for a kilo. And it's just cool to buy things in kilos. You feel like a hip drug dealer, as Jay always says. So go to YoKratom.com. Support the sponsors that support the shows. YoKratom.com, home of the $60 kilo. All right, let's get back into it.
Yeah. So I was listening to the podcast you do called Cashing In with TJ Miller. You're the guest every week.
Yes.
All right.
Cashing In with TJ Miller, host Cash Levy, a very funny comedian, one of the best improvisers alive. He has an interview show, and he has trouble getting guests, so I'm the only guest that's been on it for the last 7 years.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. But you were talking, and I actually at first thought it was a joke, but it's not. You are in the hot sauce and peanut butter game. Mm-hmm. Which
it's not Ralph. It's not a game to me. Okay? It's food distribution. It's my life.
How did that like the hot sauce? I get everyone like a lot of hot sauce out there, but how did the peanut butter come about?
Who doesn't like peanut butter?
Yeah, this is why it's a one-way relationship.
You don't deathly, like peanut
deathly
butter?
Allergic. Deathly.
What about other nuts different. Like almond butter or
nuts?
That's fine. Different. That's like being like, you know what? I'm not a big cyanide guy, so I'm deathly allergic to it.
I actually invested in cyanide. I'm in the cyanide
it's in
game.
It's the cyanide
game.
The cyanide game.
It's his life.
That's the card I handed. Such a funny idea.
At bars.
Hey, man,
to women.
I sell cyanide.
What do you do for a living? Well, have you heard of cyanide?
Yeah, I don't know. I have some capsules with me.
Which one was first? The hot sauce?
The hot sauce. And so what I did was I love hot sauce, and I met this guy. I was doing a Mucinex commercial, and we were recording, and he had like a audio engineering sound. He had a booth in his barn, and he had a pepper farm, and we kind of hit it off. He's like, do you want to see the pepper? I was like, yes, I love hot sauce. So we talked about it. We kind of kept in touch. And then eventually, out of the blue, he kind of reached out. I said, would you ever want to collaborate on a hot sauce? I go, yeah, fuck yeah, you know?
Wow.
I should have brought some. I didn't know that you guys were excited. I'll get you guys some.
Yeah, I would love some. I'm a big hot sauce fan. And unlike James, I won't die from peanut butter.
That's true, too. Yeah, everybody loves peanut butter. That's why I got it. But so we started talking, and we kind of worked back and forth on three different hot sauces. And it was, we used to have four. One was a joke. It was called a diet hot sauce because all hot sauces are diet because there's
no calories.
And so we talked about that, but we decided that just wasn't selling very well. And so we have a Chipotle, and one called Extreme Gangster Heat, and one that's called Fucking Intense Ghost Pepper Type Shit. And so that's the hot one, obviously.
And Zach, you eat like super hot shit as a challenge, don't you?
Yeah, I did the Satan's Toe.
Oh, boy.
That sucked.
Really?
It's a lollipop. I think it's 90 million Scovilles. Big mistake.
Brutal.
I did it for one of my podcasts.
Did you throw up?
We did hard trivia while we had it. And my idea was keep it on one side of your mouth so you're not burning all over. But then I drooled. And I had burns all over my face.
Oh, my God.
My buddy Doug that did it with me had the lollipop, and he went, took it out, put it back in, and then wiped the sweat off his head.
No.
And he called me the next day, and he had a burn across the top of his head.
What the fuck?
It was
How do you even
wild.
Do that?
I felt like I was tripping.
I guess it's an extract, right?
At that point, I would have to imagine there's no real flavor to it.
No, it's just, it's like the eighth one they do on Hot Ones, the Mega Death Sauce or whatever. There's no flavor to it.
Right, it's just for the heat.
I did Hot Ones. I did the test episode for the game show. Fucking rough.
Yeah, I want to
try give
it.
You a milkshake at the end. Like, that's just going to solve all the world's problems.
Well, when I did it, I thought that the last three or whatever just aren't anything. It's all the same thing because it just gets gimmicky. And so that's the fucking intense ghost pepper type shit. All this available on my website, tjmillerdoesnothaveawebsite.com. There it is.
There it is. Thank you, Shannon.
So the hot sauce is...
By the way, I love the graphics on the website. It's very 8-bit old school.
Yeah, it's great, awesome. Right? Yeah. Castlevania.
Castlevania.
Although now I have to change it to make it more user-friendly. So I'm going to have two options. I'm going to say regular website and a slightly and more challenging website. You can go to either. But the fucking intense ghost pepper type shit, I did not want that to be just a gimmick. And so it's really, really hot, but it's got some great ghost pepper flavor because you never taste ghost pepper. Nobody even knows what the fuck that tastes like because like Carolina Reaper, they only put it in shit so it's hot. Mm-hmm. So that was that. Then I love peanut butter, and a very funny comedian, Dustin Chafin, always gives great Christmas gifts and birthday gifts and stuff. So he gave me this gourmet peanut butter because he knew how much I love peanut butter. This gift set, and I reached out to the owner of the peanut butter just to say like, this is amazing. You eat it out of the jar. I mean, it's, I feel like such a fucking asshole that I didn't bring this stuff. But then again, I'm like,
I am so glad he didn't, my friend. God bless you.
No, it'd be great to put it near you to see what happens.
I'd fucking die.
No, yeah, yeah.
Can you breathe it? Can you breathe it?
No, I can't.
To be honest with you, that makes me feel a lot better about my failure.
It would make the show go viral for sure. Comic dies on air. That would be awesome.
Jesus God.
Make sure you speak at the funeral. Boy, he's dead, but the ratings for that episode?
Out of control.
He'd be proud of it.
When we did,
and then he just starts a podcast as his eulogy.
Oh, that'd be the best.
So
I did my research.
Once a year on the show.
James will be... he'll degrade, he'll decompose.
Once you're on the show, we try a drug because I've never done any drugs. And I did cocaine on the show and at 50 years old. And I thought, there's a good chance I could die from this. Right. And I literally thought, well, at least the episode would definitely go viral. That was the way I thought about it.
And did you like the?
I've hated every drug that I've tried. I've hated them all. I'm not made for drugs.
This year, he's going to snort peanut butter. So
what about alcohol?
I drink, but casually. But we tried 4 or 5 different drugs. What did you say, Shannon? I can see.
You didn't hate Molly.
I didn't hate Molly, but I would never did it again. I have no desire to do it again.
We did it 3 times.
But that was for the show.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have never done any of them.
That's the easiest way to. If you got a successful show and you want to cheat on your wife, just be like, it's for the show.
The show.
That's the co-host.
And if I die.
Yeah, that's Big J.
And if I die, it'll go viral.
It'll go viral.
I die during sex. Yeah. So we got
to
go.
But so
all
the
out.
Peanut butter, you reached out to the guy. He wanted to partner with you as well.
Well, yeah. He said, well, we're a huge fan. I talked to him and I said, I do this hot sauce, and so he just got into it. I met him, and we talked it through. And it is, you eat it out of the jar. I've never had it on
anything.
On a sandwich or anything like that because it is so fucking good.
You ready to hear something super goofy? I make tons of my own peanut butters, almond butters, pecan butters, and my own almond milk and shit. I make all that shit.
Really? Do you ever sell it or anything?
No, I give it to friends. But
do you
I
have
make
a
really
machine
good.
For
I
it?
I have a machine for it. I make really good ones. Yeah, I make
that's
a pecan
funny.
Pie butter that's fucking unbelievable.
Maybe I'll bring...
Shannon had the pecan pie butter.
Maybe I'll bring this stuff if you'll bring me some.
I'll bring you. I'll bring you pecan pie butter.
Have you guys
butter.
Ever eaten near here at the Shabu Shabu place? Shabu
yeah, on
Tatsu?
A, on
it's
a,
on 10th.
No, it's on 10th. Yeah, 10th Street. Right. On 10th
it's
between
so
1st and
9th. Good. So I realized where you guys were. I was like, I'd love to just come and eat Shabu Tatsu.
Yeah,
I'll give you peanut butters.
In like every show I listen to, you talk about good restaurants in that area.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know if you realize that. I'm a big I'm obsessed with food as myself, but
oh, good restaurants in the area of the podcast.
Wherever you are, yeah.
For a second, I was like, do I fucking talk about East 10th Street?
It's the Mecca
every
food.
Podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Wherever you are, you talk about where to go to eat in that area.
Yeah, in New York. I mean, I don't.
Yeah.
Those are the only podcasts you listen to is the New York appearance.
Well, I listen to I do my research as much as I can.
I only listen when they're located in Amarillo, Texas.
That's it.
2 podcasts a year.
Paris, Texas.
All right, guys, let's take a quick second to shout out our newest sponsor, Chameleon. Chameleon Glass. Chameleon makes daily smoking devices, quality pieces at great prices, and they're all American made. Whether you are strictly functional or love functional artwork, Chameleon has an innovative solution to fit that need. Simple, functional innovations like the ash catcher pipe that delivers smooth, ashless hits, or spend a little more for the Typhoon, a dry, cyclonic filter pipe that delivers cool, filtered smoke like a bong without the water. Chameleon sent a bunch of them to the studio,
everybody gobbled them up. I don't smoke, so I didn't take one. But everybody else seems to love them and thinks that they're amazing. That Cyclone Bubbler I know people have been freaking out for, it's all thanks to Chameleon. It is old school with craft mentality to prove it. You don't last 30 years by making crap. Functional art is a huge difference from the clear glass. It's unique, it's handmade, collectible, and the craftsmanship is obvious. So if you go to Chameleon Glass and use the promo code GAS15, you can get 50% off your order every single time. Once again, it's Chameleon Glass. Use the promo code GAS15 for 15% off your order. Because I know people are either high or not that smart. I'm going to spell it for you. CHAMELEONGlass.com. Promo code is GAS15. Once again, it's CHAMELEONGlass.com. Promo code is GAS15. It's all made in the USA, and people here seem to love it. All right, let's get back into it.
All right, we're going to do the first, Shannon. We got
to
wrap
this up. Actually, can I do one thing real quick? Yeah. I didn't do enough research, but TJ, I wanted to tell you, I one time had to do a 15-minute set just for your mom.
What?
You had a family. I don't know if they still do comedy, but you had another family member that did stand-up at the time, and we did a show together, and the entire audience walked out before they and I had to perform.
Are you talking about my sister, Morgan?
Yeah, she's so funny, too.
She's so fucking funny.
Your sister's very funny.
What did you say that you... I don't know if you talked to her anymore.
Oh, I didn't know she still did stand up, so I didn't want to. You know, I didn't want to out her.
I don't know. She's an incredibly she's wildly very, very funny stand up.
Very silly.
Wildly is very good. Very silly. I love people should use that more wildly instead of what's happening, which in New York, people are starting to say gorgeous. Have you guys heard this?
Yeah. In what context?
How do you feel about that?
But in what context?
It just means like cool or awesome or oh, that's gorgeous.
I sent a headshot to this woman to do her show and she wrote gorgeous and it's like, I didn't know what to do. I just hearted it. And
you
I
sure
go,
that she didn't write not on top of your headshot?
Yeah, should be.
No, but what's weird about that is that has to do with the way you look. So that is weird. But I had somebody, they were doing a massage thing, craniosacral, and she'd be like, all right, now just release, feel your head going back, all the shit that Kate makes me do. Feel your head sort of sinking into the pillow. And I try to do it. She's like, gorgeous, gorgeous. And yeah, there it is. They're gorgeous. And then I went and got a fucking matcha latte or something. And I was like, do you mind if I pay cash? I have exact. She's like, gorgeous. That's gorgeous.
Weird. It seems affected and vaguely British.
It does. It definitely. Well, yeah, right. Because it's close to brilliant. Oh, that's brilliant. I would rather people say brilliant, but that sounds too British. But gorgeous. And it started. Now I'm hearing in little pockets of New York all over, and I've heard it enough that I'm like, oh, God. I do like it more than lit.
So like a synonym for great. Like if you're doing something that's great, they're saying that's gorgeous.
Exactly.
I've not heard that at all.
Do you like it better than fire? Everyone under 30 is fire. How are you, fire? That shirt's fire. This podcast's fire, fire,
fire. Fire is better than lit. But fire just sat, it's like it's trying too hard.
That's why we
talk about this. Wait a second, Ralph. If you really did your research, what do we talk about a lot in my household? What word do Kate and I talk about that quantifies value?
I don't have it.
We talk about this all the time.
I don't have it. I apologize.
Talk about this to John Lasseter. I've talked about it all over the country.
I listened to two or three Cash and Use. I didn't hear it. So
that's it. Cash and Use. It's called Cashing In.
Yeah, I know. But I listened to two or three.
Cool.
Cases. Cool.
Cool is such a good word, and it's a cool word to say, and it never doesn't work. It can always apply. And so Kate and I spend a lot of time talking about if something is cool or not. And the other person I've talked once or twice about it with is Ari Shaffir. And we talk about primarily New York versus Los Angeles, not like, oh, they're so different. But, you know, Kate, I'll say what I said to Ari, which is it is never cool to say I live in Los Angeles. It's just never cool. No one is. If you're just starting out, it's not cool because you're like, oh, I live in L.A. And everyone's like, yeah, I guess so. Of course you do. Look at how you're dressed or acting. And then if you're so famous, it's like, where do you live? And it's like, L.A. And it's like, ugh, you couldn't really get around that. But when Ryan Reynolds said to me, we live in New York, we live in upstate New York, I was like, oh, that's cool. You know? But it is always cool to say I live in New York. The only people that are like, oh, you do, are people that can't really cut it here.
Mm-hmm.
And they have excuses. Well, the weather is so tough, isn't it? It's so big. Don't you get tired of walking out and seeing so many people? That's not a cool response. But living in New York is always cool. But Kate and I will talk about if somebody is cool or if something's cool or that. Yeah, we just have so many weird conversations. We're like, yeah, da, 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 and we're talking. We go, yeah, but they're not cool. And then we'll sort of agree on that. And then we'll kind of move on from it. But that's just something that we discuss all the time. And that word just works. And it means so much because of the history of it. See, fire will never be as cool as cool because it just doesn't have the history.
It also feels very forced fire.
Yeah, but cool doesn't.
Right.
So, and it's also the sound of the word.
Cool's been around for a minute.
The ones that I'm so glad are not around.
Yeah, you're right.
For a minute. The ones that are not around anymore, I'm so happy because I fucking hated were the things like off the hook.
Yeah,
or off the chain. Yeah, I hated all those fucking stupid things.
You know what does work? Sorry, go ahead.
No. Or as your uncle who's way older than you would try to do, oh, is that off the hizzy? Because I heard it once in a rap song.
As
or
a joke. Like, I don't mind it as a joke.
Oh, no. I had people try to assimilate to that. It's like, please don't ever open your mouth
again.
I would
say that to be an asshole, but not in a serious context.
I'm not calling you my uncle. I just want you to know. But I'm saying this is like
I'm
an
old
uncle
enough to be.
8 years.
I'm 8 years older than you, right?
Sorry, was my math better this time? Yeah, the inches?
I think fire comes off as douchey because it sounds like you're speaking in emoji.
Yeah, it is.
That's weird. And you know what? I would take... How do you feel about this, Zach?
Is that because he was in the emoji movie? Was it a little dig?
No, I was actually afraid to say it because I didn't want him to think I was doing that.
Which is your favorite friend.
Hey, there's no point at this podcast that I'm in a Gene Simmons you, okay? I want you to know that.
Who do you hate more, Gene or Chris?
Gene.
Okay.
I like Chris's body of work better.
But I'll take the emoji of fire over fire any day of the week. Here's the other one that I think is a very cool word for like great or good that also has a history. Gangster.
I love it.
Gangster is something I've recently thought about saying if I have to choose something else. We like awesome. I think rad could have a real comeback.
I think rad has a very
been flirting with
LA
a comeback for 20 years.
Hipster
yeah. Flirting.
Yeah. LA skater vibe.
Yeah, but that's
which
why
is
radical.
Cool has no real regional feel to it.
No, and it's, you know, I mean, the French and people like that, they try and make it their own by putting in like super cool, you know?
Oh, I didn't
know
that.
Mega cool. Because I talked about mega. Oh, that's mega. But it, again, sounds like it's trying too hard.
Yeah.
Gangster is just, it's been around forever. It is very cool, and it's not going to change. Like, you'll never say to somebody like, oh, those shoes are pretty gangster, man. And they'll be like, sure. Yeah, okay, grandpa. It's like, nope.
Always comes off as a compliment.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's always, again, it's cool. It's cool to say
unfortunately,
something
I say awesome too often. Awesome
no,
is,
I awesome is
awesome
another
does
one.
Its thing.
Awesome stays. And then if you want to switch
you.
It up, you can say awe-striking.
That's a mouth word.
Oh, wow.
It's a big one.
It's a mouthful. That's what I stick with. But I think cool is kind of...
One of my friends, which I hate, he says to girls, you're breathtaking. And I think that's fucking really trying too hard.
Yeah, breathtaking. What about bodacious?
No.
If you go that far, though, tubular...
That's...
You're going that far.
Tubular is rad.
Shannon's losing her shit over here. Look at that. You can see her in the background.
To wrap this up in one beautiful thing, is speaking of terms, you didn't know what cut your teeth means? You don't know where that comes from? That's what you said in a podcast, that it makes no sense to you.
Tony,
it's odd when somebody knows more about what you've said than you do.
How about that?
He knew your middle name before you fucker did.
That's true.
This guy's the greatest researcher I've ever seen.
We're running late. We got to hit the first, buddies.
We
do. Okay, this has been really fun. It's been almost an hour.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how you know it's good radio,
guys.
This is
when you know it's succulent.
That's a good one.
Succulent. No, but what else is...
Well, you just missed this. So, Shannon, hit him one more time so he could truly appreciate it. I feel like he
but
didn't
But I like
to...
what you're saying. I think awesome is really good.
Appreciate awesome. The intro. First time
ever I saw concert.
The name of the show is the SDR Show, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll Show. We ask every guest this question since we started 6 years ago.
Where do you land on dope?
When we get to that place,
that's
you'll
a
find
tough
out.
One.
Just hang
that's
on.
A tough one, right?
Hold your horses
you
there, son.
Yes?
We start with concert. The
when
first...
you did your research, did you know that I don't usually let things run according to plan?
Yes.
Why don't you ask me about morning shows?
Why?
COVID ruined
I
one
saw
of the
you
greatest
do a couple
pieces
of, them.
Of art. that I had been had the opportunity to do as an artist, as a real artist, Zach.
Artiste.
Not an artist like you, who's verified, who's true to himself, but as an artiste, someone who's pretentious and not really creating art. Morning shows were like the best thing that I did. And Mark Norman's really funny in them, and they'd done comp, you know, but I would do some shit that was just insane and so fun.
I saw you do one from a Taco Bell.
Yeah, I did that. But I mean, even before that, I did one where the best one, but I did one where I was doing dribble takes instead of spit takes and all this stuff. But I did one where I was drinking NyQuil or Z-Quil. I was drinking Z-Quil while talking to them. And I just started like falling asleep the whole time. It was amazing because they didn't know if it was real sequel or not because they're just like, this guy's crazy. And so I fell asleep on, it was a guy. It was a guy. All right. I don't want to get in any trouble, but I fell asleep on the host of the morning show. Awesome. And he was like, okay, well, we're going to go to, and next up are your furry friends in need of sweaters. This next woman, I mean, it was crazy.
And did you say, I'm sure the segment will be cool?
Ralph, had you never done,
super dope.
You just don't do drugs in general.
I've never, before the show.
Okay, now here's what I want to know. Okay.
I smoked pot three times in my whole life prior to this show.
When is your birthday?
New Year's Eve.
Ooh.
Oh, you really weren't paying attention.
No, I don't do my research. I would love, I'm not going to be here for New Year's, but I would love to come back on maybe for my birthday, maybe some other birthday. Mm-hmm. And have you done nitrous oxide?
No.
So that's what we should do. So I'm gonna come on, I'll bring you, here's what I'll do. I'll bring hot sauce.
If peanut butter.
Bring Zach. I'll bring peanut butter for you. You can stay outside. I want
gonna
you
zoom.
To be here.
I'm going to zoom while you're live.
No, how's it going, guys?
I won't have the peanut butter in. On the show. I'll take it and have it another time.
Thank you.
And try it in the hot sauce.
I'll bring you my pecan pie butter.
I would love to. That's what I was going to ask.
I would like some
can
of
you
that.
Bring the pecan pie butter? And also, because I had the first pecan pie that I love. That's my father's favorite pie. I'd never had any that pie. I loved. It was so good at Peter Luger's.
Also, Petey's Pies makes a pretty good pecan pie.
Really?
Yeah, here in the city.
Okay, so I know, that, but we've got it. We should do Whippets on the show. I've never done it in years.
And they only last like 15 seconds, right?
That's all. I have a joke. I want to do this more. I always forget certain things that I think are really funny. But I love nitrous oxide because it is gone in like 15 seconds. So I've always wanted to, when a cop comes, to be like, excuse me, let me just finish this.
Oh, yeah, so you thought I was speeding or what?
Because you can't do anything now because I'm not under the influence anymore.
Oh, that's great.
But now I am. So what are you guys thinking about doing after the show?
Do you guys want to go get some shabu tatsu? So we should do that. I would love to
do
that with you.
For sure
I
do.
It would be funny to do an entire, like it doesn't have to be a full show, but to do an entire segment where we just did it and then stop and then do it and stop.
We've been trying to figure out what the next drug would be, and I'm
that's
down
it,
with doing
buddy.
That drug. That's for sure. All right, so the first concert you ever went to?
Beastie Boys.
That's a great one.
Is kind of what I feel. I feel like I went to an Eagles concert or something like that before, you know, and the Rolling Stones I went to. And when you say, what was the first concert you went to? When you put that down, oh no, now I'm getting hacked again. I was going to say, when you put that down as a security question. Oh, TJ, I wonder why you got hacked. How did you get hacked just going on public?
You think of Beastie Boys, though. That's what you think of.
Yeah, because...
I went to the Run DMC Beastie Boys show at Madison Square Garden.
Really? And, was like, that in the round?
It was in 86. There was a race riot that broke out in between the two acts, though.
Jesus.
Pretty crazy. I started it.
It is crazy.
Yeah.
Which wasn't a big deal at the time. No, but I, it was in the round, and it was Tribe Called Quest.
Oh, yeah.
Who
oh,
Tribe would later be, Electric Relaxation would be the, my high school girlfriend and I, that would be our song, which is really telling of the fact that I went to a mostly black and Latino high school. Uh-huh. And I didn't wear my chain today, but
you'd be able
to tell another time. And so it was amazing to see Tribe and the Beastie Boys. And I remember not knowing why I wanted to go to the Beastie Boys concert, because I don't care about concerts. I never go to concerts and never have. But something about it just felt like that was – and also I listened to the Beastie Boys in high school because that was hip-hop, but it was white guys.
It was safe hip-hop.
So I tried to kind of you know, I don't know, kind of incorporate that. I mean, License Still wasn't exactly safe hip hop.
It was just because they were white and it felt like your parents wouldn't complain at the time. I don't know. At the time.
Kind of, yeah. But I feel like the parents that complained about like Biggie and Tupac and all that kind of stuff.
But that's later.
I know it was a little bit later, but I feel like part of why they were complaining is because they're black.
I mean, part of?
Yeah. Well, most, I mean, it was gangster rap.
Right.
But the Beastie Boys, License to Ill, they're talking about, you know,
I mean, most of their music was sampling classic rock songs, yes. You know. So anyway, so now the first drug you ever did after weed, unless weed wasn't your first drug.
Wow, we're really compacting this.
Yes. Took it up a notch.
I don't know why I feel, Shannon, I feel like, your host went a little long and Zach went a little short. All right, fair enough. So the first, wow, that's it for the Beastie Boys, huh?
Yeah, we're over an hour.
All right, well, I can leave now. I'm almost done with the fucking champagne, so I don't see what the deal is.
We'll discuss it. I've seen them several times.
You want to talk about it in the car?
Yeah.
In the friendship van, as
friendship
I call it.
Friendship-mobile, bitches.
It's just a Lyft XL, and the Chinese guy doesn't speak English, so I'm just like, wait,
but he,
wait.
But he bumps Beastie Boy imports, so it's good.
That's all he does.
God, I wish I wouldn't have paused 37 seconds imports. God damn, I stink.
The first drug I smoked after weed.
The first drug you did after weed, unless weed wasn't your first drug.
Weed was not my first drug.
So what was the first drug you did?
Sylert.
Excuse me?
The fuck is that?
Uh-oh.
That's looks like a Star
like
Trek
drug. We got
drug.
One. SDR out! And I just somehow disappear.
Skyler?
It's not Skyler.
Sylert.
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 What the fuck is it?
So do you guys know Adderall?
Yeah.
So Sylert was an option outside of Adderall when I was in high school. And so as a sophomore, I didn't smoke weed until after college.
Oh.
Because I was so against the, not against it, but I was like, it just didn't seem interesting to me, and it just seemed like, why not do alcohol, why not drink alcohol? You know, you've already got that in high school. The people that smoked weed were pretty gangster, but it was actual gangsters. It was gang members and people like that. I knew one kid that smoked a lot of weed, Will Zimmerman, this brilliant photographer who was my father's ex-wife's son, but felt a little bit like a brother to me. He smoked a lot of weed and he was really, really cool. But marijuana just didn't really strike me as something I needed to do in high school. And then by the time I got to college, I was like, why am I going to smoke weed? Why not just drink? And so I only started smoking weed after, like for real smoking weed, after my AVM, after the brain surgery, which I can't believe you didn't bring
that. I have it on my list, but it's 10 years ago. I felt like it was beaten to death already.
I just love the rider was like 10 years ago, but I do.
Well, that I found also, I mean.
But I have to say, it is really funny that you looked at all the topics and you're like, I'm going to skip the life-threatening surgery that saved him after two seizures, which occurred because the filming of Yogi Bear 3D was so traumatic. He was just like, skip.
Pinata.
It's like shiny pinata turkey.
I was also, in my defense, I heard it brought up a lot.
Yeah,
and
that's
I feel
very
like,
true.
You know, it's something that has been very much covered, right? So
yeah, but I would have loved to get your take on it. One of the things that I really missed out on, and I do this a lot with interview shows, was talking about you, because you're a little bit like me, where you'd like to talk about the other person more than you'd like to talk about yourself. And that happened I did Snoop Dogg's podcast,
mm-hmm.
and I ended up just asking him questions, both as myself, and I did the show called Gore Burger on Comedy Central and for Warner YouTube, and it's this giant animatronic puppet.
I saw that. I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. People, look it up. It's Gore Burger, G-O-R Burger, and I just love, so I loved being that giant puppet because it was a interview show. It was like a late night show. And it's so fascinating. So I Snoop Dogg had me on. He loves to talk about himself. And so I just couldn't stop asking questions. And I did the same thing on Flavor Flav's podcast. I just was like, you know, what time zone is the clock around your neck? I had so many questions for him, but I didn't get enough of an opportunity to talk about you. Do you talk about yourself a lot on the podcast?
We do. Yeah, we definitely do. They know what a creep I am in life. Zach has very well established that, right?
Yeah. And well versed in his creepiness.
Yeah.
Very well versed. Yeah.
But anyway, so Silert was it was Adderall, but I don't know if it was stronger or something, but so I did it. And so it wasn't a drug like weed. And then what's the next drug? It was psychopharmacology, trying to sort of rein in my behavior, which would later be explained by this AVM and kind of the reason that I'm hypomanic and now I have to medicate that. But the reason I say the drug that I did, first is because it was the first seriously mind-altering drug. And the reason is because I started taking it. I don't think it really worked. Very few. I'm on lithium right now. I don't think that it really works that much. Kate does. But a lot of these kind of drugs don't. I don't know if they do what they're supposed to. They're just finding these things and hoping they work. Silert, I was taking it for a while. I would say for a few months. And then I started hearing things. And you mentioned tripping, right? So do you guys do mushrooms? No?
I've been known to, yeah.
You've been known to? you've been primarily known to do mushrooms by your drug dealer.
Yes.
And then you obviously, did you trip on the show?
Yeah.
How was that?
Hated it. It's also every drug we've done on the show, you're taking a drug in the worst possible environment.
Yeah, and I'm like, I was just about to say that. I'm like, who the fuck
you're trying to control a show and still keep, I mean.
Well, plus, Ralph, you're a control freak.
Was actually my second, because I see how you're kind of navigating this ship. The other thing I was going to ask is, when you do the drug, do you relinquish the hosting duties somebody else?
No.
Looks like no. So that's what you've got to do. Yeah. If we do one together, you've got to do nitrous oxide with me, but there's got to be no agenda on your end. And then I'll bring topics and find a phone stand
that
makes me look as type A as you.
I'll find that. I would do that.
So this Silert, right? So when you trip, do you have auditory hallucinations?
Most of mine are visual.
I think that's primarily what you want to. So an auditory hallucination, when you're not tripping or nothing else is different, is really real, which is really scary. So I heard, it even makes the hair, like I'm having that sensation. Shannon, can you give us a second?
Shannon just switched out.
All right. Who's this now?
It's Natalie. Shannon, I think, went
Natalie,
to the tinkle.
Natalie, are you there?
She ran to the bathroom. Yes, right. I am here, though.
Okay, Natalie, thank you. Can you give us just, we're gonna go a little long on this. We're going to 2 hours and 15 minutes. So just stay off the board, please. Natalie, is that okay?
Gotcha.
Natalie, hello?
Yep.
See, I'm having auditory hallucination now. So, I was in my room doing homework, and I heard downstairs, sort of a female voice being like, TJ? And I was like, okay. Because the first couple times that you have an auditory hallucination, it must have been you.
Did you think maybe a ghost or something like that?
No. Because a ghost is like, you have to really believe in ghosts and kind of be looking for some ghost shit, which is, most people are like, I believe in ghosts. You're like, are you looking for that? You know? Yeah. Those are the people that are like, I went to New Orleans. I stayed in a haunted cottage. And I stayed in the haunted room. And who could have guessed? But, so it's not that. So the first time you hear it, you go, I must have heard something. Then the second time, I was like, help me.
Jesus
TJ.
Christ.
No. And then you're sort of like, all right. So I remember I kind of took a moment and I was like, wait, you know, you're always waiting. It's like when you're scared in the house, you hear something, you wait as if you're going to hear it again and then it'll confirm it and then nothing. And then I went and it happened again. I realized it was my girlfriend's voice at the time. And then you're like, is she in the room? No. Is she in the house? How could she have gotten in the house? So you start to reason, how did I actually hear that thing? And then I waited a really long time in silence and didn't hear anything else, which is fucking awful, because then you're like, did I actually hear that? So that's gone, right? So then you stop thinking about it, must have been whatever. And then I talk to somebody in passing in high school. My high school was like 2,000 people. It's a gigantic high school. And I talked to somebody. I forget. This is all muddled in my mind, but I forget how it came up. But I said, is that weird, that midget? Like, do you think that he's like, did he transfer from like where? From South or something? And the dude was like, what do you mean? And I was like, that midget, that dwarf that goes to our school. And they're like, what midget? And I was like, the dwarf, the guy, the little guy who's at our school. No dwarf. I had hallucinated not just once, but over a period of like, I'd say 3 or 4 days. I always saw him in the same place. It was out front and it was near this bike rack. And it was, I mean, there were hundreds of people outside like before school and shit or at lunch or after school even. And I knew exactly what this dude looked like. I had never been like, hey, and he'd interact, but I just saw him. He was there. It was and I wasn't watching anything with any dwarfs or midgets or I can't wait, by the way, to get canceled for saying midget about something that I said in fucking 96. And so it was this bizarre kind of thing where once I heard that, I was like, something's going on. And those are the two that I remember. I remember at the time there was other shit where I was like, where is my locker? There's like,
so it did visual and audio hallucinations.
Yeah. And spaced out.
Oh, that sounds
so
like
this, it wasn't like an episode where I'm like tripping and I'm like, oh fuck, that was the craziest 48 hours of my life or whatever. It had embedded itself and ingrained itself in my actual reality.
That's fucking crazy.
So then I was like, dude, I can't do it. Because the other thing is, these are not good things. There's no part of me that was like, oh man, the colors.
Maybe the dwarf was a fucking cool dude.
I think he was pretty fire.
Hey, I think so now fire. The last question.
Sure.
First time you had sex.
This episode's called Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll for around 4 minutes.
The first time you had sex.
Didn't go great.
How old were you?
16.
High school.
Yeah.
Were you on that drug? Maybe it wasn't
the
real.
The sex drug? Oh, Siler? Yeah. She was a dwarf. And
disappeared after that. No one saw her.
I know. Later we found her on the second floor of our house. She was just yelling, help me, help me. I want to hear what you guys have to say about this in a sec, but she was a girlfriend. We'd been together a long time. She was best friends with a girl who had sex a bunch with a friend of mine. They were in like a monogamous relationship, but really early, like they were having sex at like 12 and 13.
Jesus Christ.
Maybe more 13, 14, but I mean, there, you know.
This is a Gregor Rocky movie. And, very obscure reference. Sorry, guys.
Beastie Boys Imports. And, you know, her friend kind of said to me, you know, you better do this, or you're not going to get lucky. She was kind of urging me to understand that this girl, Lauren, was open to, you know, she kind of wanted to get it going on. And we were very, very much in love as you can be as sophomores in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went for it. And this is really in and of this time. I was so scared about getting AIDS. And looking back, that is ridiculous, you know, because a girl who's never had sex before just couldn't. And she just, she was this little white girl who was also a virgin and had been, she did like fucking stagecraft. She was like, I was in the drama department as like an actor, comedian person, and she was like building the sets and stuff. There's no way she had AIDS.
She's a techie.
No way. But she was a techie.
Yeah.
And there was just no way that she had AIDS. But because of what they did to us in that era of being like, everyone has AIDS, don't touch anybody, always be afraid, 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 afraid. If you wear a condom, it might break. And so we went to have sex. I had to wear a condom, you know? And I bought the condom, and is this the right condom, and all this stuff. And I just couldn't get a successful erection.
Wow.
Successful.
And it's just such a bummer to be a guy who had gotten that far. You know, you get to that moment and it's just not working out. And you know it's because of performance anxiety. No part of you is like, I'm not into this. Every part of you is like, give me. God, I just want to make this woman. I want to be the one clit-licking beetle. And it just didn't go. And so I was
I mean,
so...
that story, by the way, on the show happens more often than you'd think.
No, I'm sure it happens all the time. And I appreciate you saying that. I wasn't coming on here. I was a little nervous that wouldn't have happened. And this was the show where I was going to really do that. Research, you know what I mean?
Adjusted finally.
And so I sort of said, well, yeah, and she was so nice. Girls are always so nice about this stuff with whiskey dick, all that stuff. And she was just so sweet. And the next morning, I was able to finish the job.
There it is.
As my wife says when she's sick of me being on top. I
like to bring in more midgets.
I think, yeah.
Well, never dwarfs. Enough.
They're called little tiny people. Little baby sweet sweets, little tiny babies.
Little baby sweet sweets.
Little adult baby boys.
That's my rap name.
Is it? little baby sweet sweets? Yeah. It's good. I like it. And she was just so sweet in the morning. And so we were able to kind of have intercourse. And I remember that it was really cool and really sweet, but that...
was it gangster?
I felt it was definitely not gangster. It was anything but gangster. But there was a part of me that was like, I ruined this because we didn't do it at night. It wasn't. And in my mind, I was like, romance, being romantic happens at night. In the morning, there's no romance. And we eventually got to a point where, and I think she was nervous and maybe she didn't feel like it went that well. And I was really worried that she didn't like it. And I think she was too, but she didn't know how to really say that. So it was all the kind of innocence and naivete that comes with something where both people have built it up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas my wife had a horrible first experience and it was completely about the guy and it was so traumatic for her. And that's the thing that the two of us talk about a lot because she had such a different experience with sexuality in the beginning from what I had. So it's interesting that we both sort of arrived where we are, which is just being completely fucking asexual. We just stay away from each other.
It's sexy.
We have the cans, the two cans with the string in between.
Mm-hmm.
Oh boy, because she'll sort of say, "Hey, how you doing over there?" And I'll just fuck the can. I just fuck.
Yeah, that's nice. That's
my rap name. Just fuck the can.
All right, we're gonna do the plugs right now. So you're on the
hold on. So I immediately that night
what
was
night?
It? It was the night after the second we had night. Sex. Yeah. So it's the day, the night of the ejaculation.
Mm-hmm.
Ejaculation night.
Ejaculation
Eve.
Night.
Yeah.
Eve.
It is ejaculation.
That's a romantic
night.
Comedy TJ is going to be doing this. Yeah. Ejaculation night.
Ejaculation night, comma, not the Eve. Not the Eve is the second installment. And then we're having a third installment that is Ejaculation Night, not the Eve, just ruined the franchise.
That's correct.
I called an AIDS hotline.
Excellent. Oh my God.
Excellent.
And
with her too? Or
asked,
just
no, of course not, because she's the one who had AIDS. Right. I was the one who needed to worry about receiving the AIDS.
You're not gonna call with this filthy AIDS.
She gave the AIDS. Right. So I called and I tried to explain, listen, you know, she said, did the condom break? I said, you know, no, but it's, and I didn't know how much to tell her because I thought she could star 69 me and get my number. She was going to tell my parents like that something.
Yeah, yeah.
Like they hang up. I don't know. I think that kid was star 69. Hello? I'd like to speak to Todd Miller's parents, please. And so.
Your son has AIDS.
Did you? That's it. Or might.
Right.
And she said, did the condom break? I said, no, but I think it kind of came off a little bit. And she's like, came all the way off? And I was like, no. And she goes, and tell me about this sexual partner. And I explained the whole thing. And she was like, I don't think you have AIDS. And I was like, but are you sure? And she's like, I'm not sure.
But
I think you're okay. And I was like, I swear to God, I go, okay, should I call you back later? If she was testing and it might show up later. And she didn't laugh, but it was like that was in her head that it was, this was so ridiculous, but she couldn't obviously make me feel bad. But I think it was more of a hotline where she was waiting for somebody to be like, which a friend of mine did this. I'm underage. I had sex with an older man. It was gay sex. Right. He fucked me. That is where she's like, go get tested. This and this. And so that was my first sexual experience. If you guys look at the three questions you just asked, each one was kind of sad.
Well, usually they're not thrilling, but here it is. It's coincidentally, you hear 25 years later, a true AIDS survivor is pretty impressive.
What if that woman's still waiting for you to call back 25 years later?
The one time Ralph really zeroes in to throw a joke out there, it is AIDS survival level joke.
Okay, we got to wrap it. Ready? The best medicine tour you're on right now, Teenage Millionaire.
No, I'm not. If you've done your research, it's called The Philosophy Circus.
Oh, sorry about that.
No, don't be upset. We're about to do nitrous oxide together.
Yeah, in a week. Teenage Millionaire on Instagram, not TJ Miller on Twitter. Anything else you want to plug? The peanut butter and the hot sauce.
The peanut butter and the hot sauce. TJ Miller does not have a website.com. The podcast, obviously, check it out. It's so absurdist and fun. You guys listen to podcasts already. Cashing In with TJ Miller, available wherever podcasts are streamed. Check out The Stand-In. Drew Barrymore and I did a really funny, dark satire about Hollywood, which was like just absolutely apropos for that time. And yeah, I think that's it. Say hello to me, you guys. And Faves, I can send this. I'm one of the brand ambassadors for Faves, which is a new app, social media, but you can share things that you love and kind of add to
your
like
Faves.
Instagram.
I get it now.
It's nice. Your Faves. That's very, very cool. And outside of that, come and see me do stand up. I'm coming to towns all over the country. And look out for me, ladies and gentlemen, in Deadpool 3.
Yeah! Oh! Zachy, your plugs?
Instagram, Zach is not funny. Dark Comedy Festival in Toronto next weekend. And my new movie, hashtag Shakespeare Shitstorm, out soon.
James Mattern?
The James Mattern on Instagram. Check out my album, Check Spot. It was recorded the worst part of the comedy show.
This is awesome. This sounds really fucking cool. And he is the best. You're the best.
Q&A with the audience. It was not planned. I didn't know what they're going to ask me. Debuted at number one. We're behind Cosby now. So fucking download some more. I can't be behind Cosby. And my new podcast drops in January with Shuley Agar, formerly of The Stern Show, called Thanks for Coming Out, a podcast about bombing. We interview comedians about funny bomb stories. I may or may not have had the great Zach Amico on the show 2 hours ago, coming out in January, baby. Check this shit out. It's going to be hotter than motherfucking fish grease, baby!
Shannon, you're
like
hook.
Fish grease. I just want to say real quick, sorry to jump in. You got to see this guy. You got to listen to the album. Baby. He's so good at riffing. And it reminded me that I'm doing the set list, which is a completely improvised set based on audience suggestions. I see the name of the joke right before I completely improvise it.
Awesome.
That is going to be on YouTube coming soon. So check out my channel, my YouTube channel, and see. Go and subscribe to my YouTube channel because I've got all this great shit coming out, and it's 100% improvised, just like my man, James.
Shannon, your plugs, right even though here. None of them can hear it because their headphones are off.
Follow me on Instagram at ShannonLee6982. Follow me on Instagram at ShannonLee6982. Listen to my podcast, The Thing Is Ding. We talk about bad dates, fighting, and ghosts. We have all sorts of interesting people, comedians, musicians, porn stars, reality TV stars, come on and tell their personal stories about their worst date experience, a time they got into a street fight, and any experience with the paranormal.
I already know that he does not believe in ghosts.
I got in a street fight.
Did you?
Yeah, it was with a fucking ghost.
All right, follow me everywhere at I Am Ralph Sutton. My other podcast on health and wellness comes out every Monday with the founder of Juice Press. It's called The Good Sugar Podcast. Our first location is opening up in January. And thank you, TJ. Thank you, Zach. Thank you, James. See you next time on the SDR show. Oh, we got to do Song of the Week. And let's do Beastie Boys. Pick a Beastie Boys song. Ooh.
Motherfucking, what if I didn't know any Beastie Boys songs at all? I really like Get It Together. That was the Tribe one. I love Tribe.
All right, we'll add that to the playlist, and we'll see you all next time on the SDR show. Peace out.
So cool. I got the ill communication.
So.
You've been listening to the SDR Show.